We call it the wild goose session because we just let the Holy Spirit tell us what he wants us to do. And tonight, sometimes we'll get up here, different members of the team, and we'll just have a conversation and off the cuff about life and things and just kind of see where that goes. So, guys, first question is, you all had your first boot camp. And we've got, man, like 350 guys here that this is their first, or at least their first with us. And what, looking back on that, what would you say to you coming out of your first camp? What would you say to you in kind of knowing what you know now and the journey that you've taken since then? Sam, what would you say? What would you say to yourself?
Oh my, it's, well, you guys heard it was at this very camp 15 years ago, and rocked my world, total a bunch of new categories. Easy does it, easy does it, because I was ready to just, well, just so many new categories that I never had before, particularly things like warfare. An intimacy that I didn't know was available. Didn't really have a whole lot of clarity on the wound thing, frankly. Bawled my eyes out on, and I couldn't even tell you why. I had glimpses of freedom, but like, it was just so, I was just like, it was awesome, but also like, what do I do with this? And so, looking back, as easy does it. Just be kind to yourself, be kind to the people around you, and that, you got to figure out what that means for you, but like, just be kind to yourself.
Yeah, that's good. This was your first camp, Frontier.
Yeah.
I remember that. You were checking us out big time.
Is it going? Oh, you did it. Way to go, Art. That's why we hired that guy. Yeah, that I was 24 years old when I sat in those seats. That was a long time ago, one of the first boot camps that they did. And, I think if I went back there, well, one thing, I'd be like, hey, man, go ahead and shave your head because you're already going bald.
But, at 24?
Yeah, I mean, wow. It started early.
I don't know what that's like.
But... this right here, this man, mm-hmm. Yes, we all envy.
Hair envy.
Truly, honestly, I think what I would say to myself, kind of similar to you, Sam, like, just be kind to yourself. Like, your life is going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And, but I think the piece of advice that would have helped, I've got a good friend who presented this idea to some of us a while back, and it's the idea about a 2% shifts, mm-hmm. like 2-degree shifts in your life. And if you're willing to kind of take one thing at a time, just take one area that God is inviting you to look at and to enter into with him, and you take that step, and then... take the next step when it presents itself, you're going to find yourself in a completely different place. And I think I remember as a 24-year-old sitting here going, oh, crap, I got to figure all this stuff out. I got to get it together. Like, I got to get this right and just take all that pressure off.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I have a friend here that I love and respect that at our very first boot camp, he was here. And they were expecting their son, and he's here today in this boot camp with his son. And it's very holy to see, in light of your question, John, of it works. It works. And over time, the gospel doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. There's nuances of recovery and growing and maturing, but the gospel's always been the gospel. There's always been a path that is available to a few tribally on the edges of civilization that recover it and live it out and preserve it. And so that gives me hope. And the other piece that I would say is I think the most helpful measurement that I found is sort of a mantra that we live by of live in the day and measure by the decade. That's what I would have said to myself. A month, a week, a year, they're vague, but what we have today, Paul says, if today you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. And so the work that you did in the last session for your marriage, that's a good day. That's something you should be proud of. Or for woman in your life, or the woman coming in the future, what a gift. So to live in the day and measure in the shortest interval as a decade. And over a decade, life changes dramatically, and it's a very short amount of time. But I think where I was, my first boot camp, was I was living in the decade and measuring in the day. I had them flipped. So it was always under pressure.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
And a lot of, a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure to get your act together, a lot of pressure to learn it all at once, make these massive changes.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't lose your journal. you know, guys, really, I mean, there's gold in that. And I think along the lines that these guys say is I think some of my first exposure to this, I was numb because I couldn't receive love. I couldn't feel a lot of things. But I kind of let my emotions tell me what my heart needed. And don't get discouraged because, I mean, this thing's like a fire hose. If it's your first time, you're trying to take a drink out of a fire hydrant, and you can't get your mouth around that thing. Take what you can, walk away with some, and just be hopeful that this is the beginning of the journey to get your heart back. Mm-hmm. And that you just can't get it. And the great thing is, back when we started, we didn't have all these resources. Now you walk away and you've got all of this at your fingertips to just keep living in it. So don't get discouraged and don't get pissed off because you're just at yourself. Self-reproach. If that's happening, that's telling you something right there. There's a data point. If you're just saying, I'm pissed, I just can't get this mm-hmm. stuff. That's telling you something. That's telling that your heart needs to come alive. But walk away with one or two things and just have hope that God's and Jesus is coming to rescue your heart.
Yeah. You know, I'd say to myself, go get some counseling.
Yeah, it's
no,
good.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah. That's
I'm
good.
Absolutely serious. It's super helpful.
Yep.
It really is. Somebody to kind of put your story out to and get some interpretive help and some direction. And it's not a sign of weakness. Every single one of us on the team have done it. And we, a lot of us have done it with our wives as well. So a couple different rounds of it. I tell myself, Tiger, go get some counseling.
But your That's wife's it. Not your counselor.
No, your wife's not your counselor. I'm That's curious good. Now coming current in this weekend, what's been going on? What's God been touching this weekend? I mean, you're sitting here taking it all in, and God moves, and it's fresh for us as well. What, from Thursday night to an hour ago, anything that kind of popped up that was fresh this weekend? What do you got a smile on your face for?
Oh, it's like, asking to look at a picture of my wife. Like, it's a great thing, but I don't know if I want to show you, you know? I feel, do you get it? Do you get that? Right? I feel the vulnerability because God's doing some beautiful things.
And then you know you don't have to share that.
I'm aware of that, but I'm struck by my reaction. It's like, it's holy and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
You know, my kids, so one small thing, my kids are always praying, you know, for these missions, praying for you guys, praying for us, and we're just guiding them and practicing hearing the voice of God. And frankly, they hear better than me because they have less stuff in the way. I mean, it's unbelievable. They don't have maturity, if you can call it that, but they have more wholeheartedness. Yeah. And so they hear because there just isn't an agenda. And so they're praying, and they'll bless me with certain things and pray for certain things. And one of the things was just with wildlife, to show God's affection. And I'm like, the kids just don't appreciate it. It's the middle of winter. It's the Arctic Circle here. There isn't much, perhaps, going on out there, you know? And it has just been this pocket and this pocket, wildlife, of following these deer tracks. And this afternoon, I slipped out, and I found lion tracks that, for the first time ever, they were back and forth working towards a cache. And I'm working down this ridge, and these lion tracks lead to a tree, and then they look like they disappear, and all of a sudden I just went. Like I'd never looked up for a lion before, and turkeys, and just the intimacy where the Father's been pouring out some affection.
Oh, nice.
And it's been in really needed places of my soul that have been pretty banged up, and that it would involve my kids listening to God, because, you know, the heart with them is to model it and give them access. So if I don't make it home, and I get hit by a bus, like, we've modeled it, and we've given them access, and they have the full resources of the kingdom. Yeah. So I've seen a bunch of wildlife, and it's been really cool.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Mm. Bartley?
Yeah. Thursday night was pretty huge for me. It felt like... you know, just again, you know, first thing is your heart matters. And what God said is you have to keep fighting for your heart time and time and time again. That battle really never ends, because we live in this world at war, and you get a few things that feel pretty good in your life, and here comes something else. But it was really good. And I can begin to take care of my heart at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being with you guys on mission is, oh, man, it's great. It's great. And all you guys out there, the guys I know and the guys I'm running into, it's just life for my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think what I feel like God's doing in particular this time around is just this juxtaposition between we live in a world at war, and yet we have the most amazing, playful, joyful God. And we get and we have both. We have both in this life, and so I had this experience at the beginning of the weekend. We were, we get here early, part of our team, on Wednesday to get set up for the event. And so went to bed, night of sleep. It was not a good night of sleep, which is often the case on the first night up here. It was just a lot swirling that were beginning to take authority over the camp and beginning to kick some things out, and that hasn't all completely been done yet. And so just had a night where, you know, I was battling some things in me as I'm sleeping, and woke up at 1, woke up at 3:30, woke up at 4:30. And so I'm praying through these things through the night, but I really felt led by God in the battle, and was experiencing him saying, okay, I want you to pray this against that, and real particularly. Mm. So just growing more as a warrior, but then he, so it's getting toward morning, and I basically, what I was dealing with was some anxiety and chest pain, and so I'm praying as he's leading me. And it's starting to lift. And then all of a sudden he says, okay, now wait for it. And I'm like, what? Wait for what? And all of a sudden, the sun peeks through the curtain in my room, like the sun comes into my room. And I hear Jesus start singing, here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I said, it's all right. And the rest of what's on my chest just evaporates. And like, and so it's just God's intimacy of like his playfulness, his joy, and the fact that like, you know, he's training me, but he's also kind. Like he took the last little bit off for me in this playful way. So I've been enjoying that, learning from it. So
it's cold here. I mean, no, it's really cold. Each time's different, and God like just gives you another slice or another peek at like how what's available, and brings you back around. So, and you've seen enough of my personality that when I'm up here and I was telling my story and like, and so I've, you know, obviously 6 and 15, two big times in my life. So after that, I'm back there in the prayer time, and I'm like, God's like taking, I'm having a conversation with my six-year-old self. And I've done that before with counselors and stuff. And first of all, I thought that was only in the movies that you do that, or like the psychologists on TV, like, okay, you're back at this age. And no, that really happens. But usually with a counselor, and like, I was literally back over in the booth having a conversation with my six-year-old self. Mm. And it wasn't some heavy thing. It was just like, so how you been? Like, and this provoked that, I think. And so that was like, that kind of blew my hair back as far as.
I get it. It happens all the time.
So nice. Must be nice. Tell us what that's like, Sam.
Kind of cruel.
Touché.
It's a
rough crew.
You didn't need to say that.
Always bragging.
Yeah.
Is there more of the story?
That was pretty.
That's pretty special.
Heavy, yeah. It was awesome. It's like, this is available. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, it's, you're up here telling your thing, and you're looking at these faces. Like, you know, it's one thing to touch, but it affects you, but in a beautiful way, because it allows you to go to places and things like, whoa, I wasn't planning on that, and. But just to know that we can be open to that, and that's available, and that happens, and that, you know, the Holy Spirit can organize something like that is like, again, it's like, I'm just blown away that this is available. We can live like this. Just like,
yeah.
And yeah. I know it up here, but when it happens, you go, you get a little more conviction, like, whoa, this is like,
yeah.
This is available.
Yeah. Yeah.
The trip.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Good howdy.
Well, some of the times that I'm up here and we're going through prayer together, Jesus is showing me stuff. Like, it's not a shtick. It's not a gig. It's live. And he's real. And I'm up here breaking agreements with you. And I told you about what I woke up to. But even in that time just now, in the last session, and kind of Jesus come back in our story and letting him back into places in my own story and where there was harm and where agreements got in, you know what, like one of the things that, so I'm a little bit of a target, right? And one of the things that the enemy has sort of haunted me with is it's inevitable. And whatever the hell that means, like, it's inevitable you're going to go down, it's inevitable you're going to blow something up, it's inevitable you're going to, and the Father's like, no, it's not, break agreements with that. And just that little haunting thing,
yep.
It kind of gets in there, and it takes a lot of joy away, when you live, you know, with that, and just right here, just going, no, that's not true, and turning my heart to my Father, and him going, yeah, no, that's that, no, it's not. It's not inevitable. We're good. You're good. This is fine. And even to be able to live in a Christianity where, no, it's not. It's not inevitable that a man collapses. It's not inevitable that something blows up. It's not. Like, we don't have to make agreements with that stuff. And so that was wonderful. That was really cool. Mm. Lots of little things through the weekend that were just live. It was just here in the now, in the moment. And God's coming and speaking to us, speaking to our whole team in different ways. And it's just so beautiful to see it and to name it before you guys so that you know, like, this all keeps coming. Like, he's real and he talks, and right?
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
John, can I ask you a related question on that?
Yeah.
So this balance of going after men's hearts while still caring for your own and participating with God, like, all of us are in that boat when we leave here. We want to go after other people's heart. That's the point, is to bring the kingdom. But we also are being reminded or learning.
Yeah,
it starts with my heart. Like, what would you say about what you've learned over the years of just that, how to navigate these two really important realities that are operating in the same arena sometimes?
Mm-hmm. You know, let's pause because Jesus, what would be helpful? And we're each listening on that. Jesus, what would be helpful on that? There's so many things to say. But right here, right now, tonight, just the five of us, what would be helpful, Jesus? Boom. Last February, a couple of you were here at that camp. It was the first time I ever experienced this in a lot of years of doing these. I was totally sick. I was so sick that I was quarantined in my own room, and I would get in a car, and I would drive around to this back door because I couldn't walk, and I'd come up, and I would do my sessions, and I'd go back, and I just spent the weekend in my room, and I loved it. I loved it because it ended up being this incredibly sweet time with God. And what it was for me, it was God was kind of showing me something. And what he was showing me, here's what came up. You ask what it is. It's intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's intimacy. It's intimacy. I would not trade my intimacy with God for all of this. Right? It's a pretty big kingdom, and I'm a big dog in some circles or whatever, but so what? So what? Like that you can't live for that. You can't make that the main thing. It's my intimacy. So what's the survival?
That's
what's
good?
It's intimacy, right? And just like last year, is just up in my apartment with God. It was wonderful, and it was what he was doing.
Yeah.
It was, you know, intimacy.
Mm.
How about you? What'd you hear?
Me specifically?
Yeah, as we were listening, you.
Oh, well, it was interesting because I asked the question, but as I was listening, the idea that I just felt like this fresh reminder is God's the initiator and we're the responder. Mm. It begins with him. Mm. It begins with him moving and acting, and it just sets me at rest because I can, over time, make the shift of it's up to me. It's up to me to either care for my own heart or go after another man's heart. But when I know that God is orchestrating this boot camp in our lives, and I could feel this shift, a reminder of, am I curious of what is God doing? How is he moving? What is he asking me to engage in? What is he asking me to let go of?
Yeah.
And so that sets... That's a strong resting place.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give like a really practical example of that. So we had a really busy year. It was a really intense year last year, both in terms of mission, but in terms of our private lives. And, you know, Blaine shared a little bit in his response this morning, but there's been some pretty significant loss in our world. And so there was a lot of heartache and grief and stuff. And about midway through the summer, Jesus said to Stacy and I, you know, we had our 35th wedding anniversary in October. He said, you guys, you should get away and you should go to Kauai. And you understand, we had a huge event in Wales for the UK and Ireland and Europe, really, in September. And then we had a huge event in Australia, 1st of December. And I'm like, that's a lot of mission. That's a lot of travel. That's really demanding. And in between that was a captivating event here in Colorado. And I'm like, Jesus, that's a bad idea. And
that's a great quote.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, no, I'm serious. I'm like, really? It makes no sense. Like, what are you talking about? But we've learned, you know, to listen. Like, listen and stay. I'm like, Stace, really? And she's like, yeah. So we booked this trip. And even up to the week we were leaving, we squeezed it in November. Even up to the week we were leaving, I'm like, this is stupid. This makes no sense. And it was a rescue. It was a rescue of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so, like, God's the initiator. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll guide you when it's time for Sabbath and when it's time for engagement. And he'll guide you even in the people that, you know, if you ask, like, Lord, am I supposed to, you know, go after this guy or be in this conversation or whatever? And it's amazing how many times he says, no, I got this. I got this. You're good. Don't call them back or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I got it. You're fine. So I love that idea that God is the initiator. Now, I'm curious what the three of you...
Yeah, I'm very similar about the two things about your heart and the hearts of others is I heard receive his love. Mm. And when I think for me, when I'm trying to navigate things like that, if I can receive his love, it really puts me on a path that I have the capacity, first of all, take care of my heart. Then I can go after the heart of my wife and others. But the primary thing is to receive the love of the Father and be his beloved son.
And Bart, that's been a new part of your journey. Mm-hmm. What was in the way of that? Why was that so hard?
I think it was my validation was really set on performance.
Okay.
And it was an echo in the wound. I understood that early on, but as we've all said, understanding is not healing.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to get the healing, and I still think I'm letting go of places in my heart that's like that.
Sure.
That to just things in my life that don't go right, and God says, it's okay. It's all right. And the I think beginning to love myself is part of that too.
Yeah.
The kind of the evaporation of the self-reproach.
Yeah, big. What did you hear as we listened, Sam?
Yeah, union.
Union.
Union. And for me, that union is a daily thing. I'm a pleaser, and so I want to go run out and. And that's same similar type of deal, or is that how I would get my validation? And part of my deal is, you know, to win the applause. And and I genuinely love helping other people live well. Spent a career in it, and that's what's so awesome about what's, like I said, available here. But like, if it's coming from the wrong place, it's not. I can run myself dragging, and then I just. And that's what's happened is God's kind of thwarted that, so it just takes too much energy to do that anymore. So if I'm not in union, I don't have the juice, and it doesn't work. You lose your ability of bullshit, and then it doesn't. It just takes too much out of me, and then I get. But I got to say, sometimes that union is tough on people that are close to me because it's like it can appear as if aloof, not available. Mm. There's relational disappointment in that, and. So it's not a formula.
Can I explore that just a little bit? Because this is going to be helpful. You had, given your career, you had a very large relational web, a very large relational network. And as you began to be healed, that network shrunk.
Yep.
And people didn't know how to, they didn't know what to make of that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's what happened. But it was out of a place of, you know, not trying to be everything to everybody, and you know, I was pretty good at that, and so yep, and that shifts, and yeah, like it was disruptive,
right? Or it's just good to name that.
Yeah, yeah.
Say that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
kind of like what happened to him.
Yeah. Right, and then you kind of want to run and fix that, but then you're yeah. just back into it.
Yeah, know? But out of the union, it doesn't bother me. Mm. It's like, you know, it's just, you know, it wasn't some big confrontation or,
yeah.
you know, some throwdown. It was just, I wasn't feeling the need to go, everybody okay?
Yeah,
it's up to me to make sure everybody's okay. In the hospitality business, that's they're counting on you to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, but... But it was, you know, there was a soul cost to that.
Yeah.
Right. Sam, I like the fact that you fired your gardener and you started mowing your own lawn.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I got to tell you, you get some music going and get, you know, and you get this power stuff. So it's like,
it's cool, huh?
My family makes fun of me. It's like they.
Don't put your diesel in the wrong.
Well, yeah, that's yeah, exactly. I've done that.
Oh. Yeah. Alex, what did you hear as we just paused, we listened, right there live in the moment?
So I heard love as well, similar to Bart, and just that idea of not the motive of love, but actually that you're filled by love.
Mm. Yes.
Your validation
right.
is coming from the source of love. Mm. Because even you could also say, you know, you want your motive to be love as you step out and offer to others, but even that's tricky, right? Because it's another way of
yeah.
accomplishment and seeking something, and so it feels like the one safe place is I'm fully loved, I'm fully validated, and therefore that's a well I can draw from as I offer. And purifies the motives.
Yeah. Place of strength.
Yeah, that's good. Where are we here? Oh, we're grooving right along.
Yeah.
What would you love to ask?
What do you guys get in this message that you can't get on your own? What is the piece? What is a piece of something that God does through relationships like this that you just can't get with just you and God?
Hmm. I think more.
Oh. I get to hear and see God in ways I couldn't on my own. Hmm. That's what, you know, I'll get a word, you guys will say something and then I couldn't see it. Hmm. Or God will use that to say to me what He wants to say, component.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Morgan, I think it's a big piece of relationship. I mean, you look at the two greatest commandments: love God and love others. So there's a relationship with people, and there's a relationship with God. So, I mean, I get a lot of what I hear from God through you guys. Last 20 months I've had a hard time sometimes hearing from God, but you guys have interpreted that for me because I'm just in such static mm-hmm. that I can't hear that.
Yep.
So
can I add a quick little footnote to the gang for that? So guys, as you're practicing listening to God, it is so much easier to hear on someone else's behalf
yes.
than it is on your own. It's just a really helpful way to kind of get into the groove of hearing, is that it's much easier. Like when you're in your stuff,
right.
it's just, you can't see the forest for the trees. And so to ask and to let others speak and hear and listen, I just want to throw that little footnote in. That's a very common experience.
Right.
I mean, much easier to hear on
Remember, I had a question just driving up here. I just said, hey, I'm really having a hard time. I can't hear God in this, and you guys helped interpret that on the way up here. So
yeah,
it
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Did you, was there something behind the question? Were you?
No, it's just, I was just aware, was thinking through this journey that there's only so much I can experience from God when I'm not doing it in community, mm-hmm. but so much of the fruit of this mm-hmm. is a walk with God shared with others. Mm-hmm. And so much of the work we're doing is very personal mm-hmm. and yet out there, like, mm-hmm. this survival alone is because of you guys.
Yes.
Like, let alone the abundant life,
yes.
like you said, the more.
Yes.
It's kind of like I've settled for a life that I can't get without brothers.
Yes.
And, I don't know, you bring me joy. Like, yeah. I just know, like, when I need joy, I track you down. And I can't get that on my own, so it's really important.
Yeah, it is.
I think a little bit of story might be helpful. So this thing began out of a partnership with a guy named Brent Curtis, and we had a counseling practice. We were going after guys' hearts, and we thought, hey, let's do a guy's weekend. And so we actually asked Bart if we could use his ranch to have a guy's weekend together, and it was the very first thing. It was the beginning of this. And at that weekend, Brent was killed in a climbing accident. We were leading guys in adventure. I mean, it's a small group of guys, like 8 guys. And so I was devastated, heartbroken. And you would think that God's first movements toward me would be tenderness, love, mercy, and he was, but actually one of the first things, he rushed in like an emergency room physician, and he said to me, I will not let you walk alone. He knew my story, right? My agreements, abandonment, don't trust people, all that, and I was ready to just go, I'm done with friendship, and I'm done with, you know, partnership and all that. Partnership's too risky. And he just came in, and it was kind of like how he handled Job, you know? That's a grieving man. Those conversations that he has with Job, he's having with a heartbroken man. And but it's what I needed, because he was rescuing me from a pretty massive agreement. So when you say, you know, what do I get out of this, that this would not exist if it was John Eldridge alone. It just wouldn't. You can't pull this off. There's no way. All of this, the movement, the message, the missions, the material, all of it, like, this is because of a group of people, men and women, who have kind of come together to love God and do this. So, I mean, the answer is none of this would exist if it weren't for you. And this, and us, and the hundreds of choices we've made to forgive and love and overlook things and fight and carry on and go to war and then crack each other up, and, you know, just the hundreds and hundreds of choices over the years for that to happen.
Yeah, John, the most important aspect of just what you just said to me in learning this, because, I mean, I have a lot of history in Christianity, and that I didn't have this category, but all of those things that you just said, the basis of trusting that our, and knowing that our hearts are good towards one another,
yeah,
and that we're going to screw up relationally, but there's grace in that because we trust that our hearts are good towards one another. Without that, this thing would, like you said, this thing would have just disintegrated. Yeah. Long time ago.
Right. Yeah. And also, just to kind of correct any misperceptions, so we're not hanging out at each other's house every week. we're We don't all go golfing together on Sunday. We don't do regular fishing trips. I mean, we have lives, we have worlds, we have kids and, you know, churches and
friends,
responsibilities and things going on. So, you know, just like also don't romanticize this, you know, that we're just, our next thing is, you know, a hunting trip and then we're flying, you know.
They won't fly with me. I still haven't got the answer to that question.
If relationships with men have to be fought for, it has to be fought for, and it takes a lot of love, and it takes a lot of perseverance, and it takes a lot of forgiveness, and staying in it for one another. It really does. It's
yes.
Not. This isn't romantic and easy in that sense. I just trying to disarm a little bit of the.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yep. That perception.
Yeah, just a misperception of that. Yeah.
Are we done?
Jesus, anything else? See, this is fun because it would be really easy for me to kind of like guide it and throw the questions out, that sort of thing. But I mean, God, what are you saying, Father? What's up? What's the anything pop up? So what I heard was joy.
No pressure. We do pressure.
Yeah.
We do, you know, it's, there's like, we're supposed to come with really something really cool to say.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's what's nice is that there's no pressure. And then, man, wow, it's like, we're better when there's not pressure.
Then it comes.
Yeah. It's like, the joy is really important.
Yeah.
Joy. We'll ask God coming into this. We'll do some listening prayer, and we ask him a ton of questions. But one of them is, what's your counsel to us as a team? And one of the things he said was, keep the joy. Keep the joy in the mission personally. Like, this has got to be a joyful thing, or you'll just get fried. So this has been joyful. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed this. This had joy too. We're good. Amen. So,
amen.
I'm not getting this, but.
Yeah. Thank you. Really, thank you.